Hi, everyone. This is Josh Nason. Welcome to another edition of JNPL Classic here on WrestlingObserver.com. My walk down memory lane through the WJAM MMA show, a show I did for ESPN New Hampshire 6 years ago, and unearthed the archives and I'm bringing them to you here live and free several times a week until I catch up here on the website. This week, we are talking about August 4th, 2011. This was my preview show for UFC 133 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a show that was headlined by Rashad Evans versus Tito Ortiz. So I was about to get on the road for the show and decided to do a radio show, decided to talk about it on the air with my co-host and friend PJ Hewitt. So PJ and I, we previewed the show. PJ talked about a nose hair trimmer incident that you will have to hear to believe. Yes, these are things we talked about back in the day. And we also did an interview with now retired UFC welterweight. That sounds about right. Yeah, no, middleweight. Middleweight. Jorge Rivera. You remember Jorge Rivera? Probably best known for the feud with Michael Bisping, the spitting in the corner thing that Bisping did, that whole deal. So we talked to Jorge Rivera as he was kind of getting near the end of his career. He was fighting Costa Philippou after a fight with Alessio Sicara, managed to fall through three times. Can you imagine that? Three times a fight fell through. It was like John Jones and Daniel Cormier with all kinds of types of cancellations and stuff. And you will get to hear the story of the night I helped Jorge Rivera charge his iPhone battery while at a UFC event. So you get to hear about that. And let's see. If you notice also during the interview, I didn't notice this. Obviously, the first time I did it 6 years ago, there's hotel music playing in the background for when Jorge was talking. So I think he was in like the lobby or something like that. But pretty decent interview, you know, your typical fighter interview, begin some fun stuff. And Jorge Rivera, that was a fun interview. And we also do a review of the Big Strikeforce show we talked about with previous weeks here with Dan Henderson versus Fedor Emelianenko. And that was a really fun show. We just kind of talked about it. That whole thing played out. So this was a good addition to the show, fast moving, and we'll let you get right to it. The August 4th, 2011 edition of the WJAM MMA show featuring Jorge Rivera, yours truly, and PJ Hewitt. Enjoy. UFC 133 from Philadelphia is upon us, and we'll serve up a very cheesesteak-friendly preview, including an interview with Jorge Rivera. Plus, we'll talk all about Strikeforce and the right hand of Dan Henderson, possibly causing the end of Fedor Emelianenko's career. It's Thursday, August 4th, and the WJAM MMA show is live. Hey, everyone. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt here with you on as you're hearing this, a Thursday night. Take you behind the curtain a little bit first. PJ, how you doing?
Doing well, Josh. And you?
Good. Where's your glasses?
I have my glasses off today.
Wow.
I have a little issue with my nose, and my glasses it caused a little pressure on them. I had to take them off to relieve that pressure.
Yeah, are you doing sparring now? Did you get punched or something like that?
No, but I now know I could never be an MMA fighter because I actually have a scratch on the inside of my nose that is completely disabled me from doing anything. I'm just taking way too much aspirin and doing anything I can to just relieve the pressure. My nose has been swollen. It's actually the lowest it's been in about 3 days right now.
Really?
Yeah, so I know that if I get punched once in the face, like if I was ever in a fight, that I would just crumble up and cry. That I have not the ability to take punishment.
How, pray tell, did you get a scratch on the inside?
I wasn't just picking my nose. I was actually doing some manscaping with a nose hair trimmer, and apparently, kids, nose hair trimmers can be very dangerous, but unfortunately, when you grow a little older, hair starts just shooting out of your nose like crazy. So you got to take care of that. And I wasn't careful.
I was reckless,
and I got a cut on the inside of my nose. There's a scab in there now. It's not a good scene.
So perhaps a famous cut man, Jacob Stitch Duran, perhaps that we get him on the show and give you some advice on how to take care of this. So that's good to know in the future. If you're in a fight with PJ, just go for the nose.
Hit the nose, and I'm just like a shark. I won't be able to take it.
Just like it's fitting you say that during Shark Week.
Shark Week.
Taking over the world. I don't get Shark Week. I just don't get it.
There's been about, 10 of them now. You'd think it would die off a little bit, but no. Everybody gets all hopped up for Shark Week.
I guess not. But along with Shark Week, it is Fight Week, UFC 133 in Philadelphia. This Saturday, We are recording the show on Wednesday night because yours truly is heading down to Philadelphia Thursday morning. And looking forward to it. There's a lot of events going on. I'll be actually covering the event actually throughout the end of the week on WGAMMMA.blogspot.com. Also tweeting from WGAM_MMA at Twitter. So all kinds of stuff throughout the week. On fight night itself especially, I'll be live blogging the event. So if you happen to be watching the event, feel free to follow along with us there. And also if you can't happen to watch the event and you don't have enough money, I'll be putting up the results after each fight. So be sure to check them out. And yeah, it should be a good time. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this was supposed to be originally the original card, and we know the cards are always subject to change, especially with all the injuries that have happened lately with the UFC. We talked about that in the past few weeks. Originally supposed to be Rashad Evans and John Jones. John Jones had some hand problems. He got scratched. Phil Davis supposed to take his place. We interviewed him. He's actually our first interview on the WGAM MMA show.
Yep.
He gets pulled because he gets injured in training, replaced with the now resurgent Tito Ortiz.
What a long, strange trip it's been to this main event. So overall, the card's looking pretty good. We'll talk about that. We'll actually talk with Jorge Rivera, a Massachusetts guy who fights on the event. He has had his own strange road to this card. Supposed to fight Alessio Sakara, someone that PJ has been really looking forward to seeing fight.
Still
some
never
point.
Seen him fight.
And you will not see him fight on this card. They're putting this fight together three times. All three times it's fallen apart due to injury. But Jorge Rivera is going to fight in the card. We'll talk to him in our second segment. But let's start out real quick. We want to preview UFC 133. However, before we do that, real quick, announced yesterday, being Tuesday as we record this, UFC is heading back to Toronto this December. The site of the biggest event, I guess you could say, in UFC history in terms of turnout, in terms of gate, almost 56,000 fans and over $12 million in gate revenue alone this past April.
Again, yeah, they can't get back there quick enough after those numbers.
They can't. So it was announced yesterday, UFC 140 on December 10th in Toronto, Canada. It's going to be the third event for in Canada for the UFC this year. That follows a trend they've had the past couple of years. First calendar year since 2007 that they have not run a show in Montreal, which is interesting, or actually since 2008 rather. And however, this event is not going to be in the Rogers Centre. It's going to be at the Air Canada Centre. Air Canada Centre is where the Maple Leafs play. It is where the Raptors play. So about 20,000 people, so a little bit less, but should be like an instant sellout. But no fights announced. But yeah, UFC heading back to Toronto in arguably their hottest market in the world.
Yeah, the UFC fought for a long time to get up there, and they finally did, sold out the Rogers Centre. And you know, he said not going back there, maybe a little too quick, but still going back to where they know they can, where they draw very, very well and have a very big fan base in MMA in Canada.
So with, you know, that event being in December, GSP fighting in the fall, so it's probably unlikely he'll headline that show. I don't think it's going to matter. I think whoever they put up there just
gets, I think maybe that's why it's not in the Rogers Center again.
Perhaps.
Had GSP been fighting there again or been on that card, they probably could have sold it, but to go back there again without the guy, without a draw like that, especially a Canadian draw like that, probably right. Not the best move.
Yeah, I think 20,000 is a pretty safe sellout.
They'll sell it out.
Without a doubt. So that'll be fun to see. So we'll talk about that more as we go on through the fall and towards the winter. I can't even think of the winter right about now. So we'll skip past that. Let's talk about UFC 133. Main event, Rashad Evans, Tito Ortiz. We've talked a lot about it in the past few weeks. You can hear about all this stuff in our archives. Rashad and Tito, who, before we get, I know we have some sound clips from our conference call, but your opening thoughts on this main event and what you're looking for.
I think it's good. I think with Tito's last win, that really helps his reputation a little bit. And you could hear it in his voice, man. He wants to get right back out there. He said he took about a week off after his win over Ryan Bader. And says he's in the best, you know, they usually say this before every fight, but says he's in the best shape of his life. Says it took him the least amount of time it took him to get back, like, ready to train because his body was already used to training. So he was, you know, pretty much just got right back into the swing of things and getting ready for Rashad. We'll hear him in a second here, but talking about how he really thinks the extended time off did him a world of good. allowed his body to heal from all those just nagging, maybe smaller injuries that, you know, you get over them or you push through them, but they never really go away. With all this extended time off, he says that he's completely, you know, wiped his body clean of all those little injuries now, and he's 100% and ready to go.
Yeah, and interesting here also that this is going to be the first fight that Rashad is not going to be fighting with Greg Jackson's camp. And actually, I think we have a clip from that, do we not?
Yeah, he spoke at the conference call last week about his decision and why he left Greg Jackson's camp.
When you get to a certain point, you really need a lot of time and coaches that spend a lot of time with you, and you make sure you get the one-on-one, and you're just seeing different things. After being with Jackson for a while, with so many people at the gym, it just got harder and harder for me to get that time. When you're in a situation like that, sometimes it gets a little bit stagnant, you know, and it's like one of those things that you're just like, okay, well, how am I to reinvent myself if I'm pretty much learning the same kind of thing and I'm not getting the time that I need? So you kind of get stagnant in your learning. You kind of get a little bit disinterested.
Interesting.
It's a little change of scenery is what he's talking about.
It is. And, fighters do this a lot, right? So fighters, obviously, they go to different camps. They'll try different skills. They'll go train here on striking and may go work with other places. But they kind of have a home gym. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. There's so many kind of question marks for him going into this fight. I think a lot of people assume he's going to pick up right where he left off, which is a fairly good assumption. But he hasn't fought in a long time. And he's fighting against a guy in Tito Ortiz that really has nothing to lose. You know, that doesn't mean that Ortiz is going to come out there, you know, swing like a wild gorilla and just go after it and just go nuts and completely throw a technique out the window. But, you know, he may go for a few more risks than he would, say, in his last fight against Ryan Bader. So Evans is kind of an interesting place because, you know, if Evans loses this fight, it's, you know, it doesn't, you know, knock him so far down the ladder. But then he's got to, I mean, he has to deal with you know, the fact that a guy that has won once in the past, what, 5-6 years, beat him.
Yeah.
His shot is gone. The shot he basically worked to hold so tough and to hold so close to him is gone.
Put off fighting, taking other fights,
yeah,
because he didn't want to lose,
right,
that.
So really, this is... I would say this is a must win for him. He has got to win in order to shut all these other people up, because if he doesn't, it's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, and Tito Ortiz was asked about if this was a no lose situation for him at the UFC conference call, and this is what he had to say about it.
I'm a fighter, man. My job is fighting, and I'm going to go in. I'm going to do my job. You know, to me, I don't think it's a lose, no lose, win win, whatever situation. I think I'm just going to go in and do what I do best. That's fight, man. I'm healthy. Came off the last fight, and I bounced right back into training camp again. You know, I took a week off, which is, I think, a blessing in disguise. I was able to heal for a week. You know, just my muscles, everything. And my timing came back really, really quick. My shape is better than it was before the last fight. So it's just one of those things that I'm ready for a war. You know, I'm ready for the best Rashad. And as he says in all his interviews, that this is the best he's ever been. And I'm ready for that. And I'm excited for that. So this is going to be a 3-round war. And someone's hands get it raised, and I know it's going to be mine.
One of the worst cliches in MMA. I love Tito Ortiz. I hate the people refer to stuff as war so much. It drives me insane. It's I never really thought about this. Actually, that GFL event a couple weeks ago, when someone mentioned the fact that, you know, they talk about warriors and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. He's like, these guys are athletes. They're competing. But people keep referring back to war and these are warriors and all this, such battles.
Well, the UFC kind of hypes that up and helps,
yeah,
you know, with their intro and the gladiator getting ready.
They do. It's just, let's evolve from that a little bit. I'm not trying to be so highfalutin and all this stuff. It drives me crazy. Anyway, so Tito Ortiz was not supposed to be here, really. He's supposed to be cut. He's supposed to be done.
He was supposed to lose his last
on the
fight.
Sidelines.
Yeah.
But a submission over Ryan Bader, and here he is. And this is how strange this 205 division is he is basically, if he beats Rashad Evans, he's got the next shot. There's nobody else in line. You know what I mean? I mean, Rampage Jackson has a shot in September against John Jones. But there's no one after that. So really, this is without officially announcing, this is a number one contenders fight. Tito Ortiz, who did not win for the better part of a decade, is one win away from a shot.
Two wins, and he's right back there.
That's incredible. So Tito Ortiz, again, he has nothing to lose in this fight. He can go out there. If he loses, he's not going to get cut unless he, you know, pulls an Anderson Silva in Abu Dhabi situation.
I don't think he's going to. He seems like he's really focused. Like, he can smell it. Like we said, he's two wins and he's right back. He's getting a title shot. I think he know he's very aware of that. And I don't think he's going to blow that opportunity.
He's been these spots before. He's main evented enough shows. He's been a former champion. So this is it's game day. I think this is going to be a really good fight. And so my pick before we go to our next fight, I want to pick, I'm going to pick Rashad Evans, and I'm going to pick Rashad to win by unanimous decision. I think he's going to, I think he's going to win, and I think he's going to do enough to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout win, but, you know, he could, Rashad needs a big effort here, so hopefully he looks impressive in doing it and doesn't just eke one out.
And I'm going to go opposite you there. I'm going to pick Tito Ortiz.
How dare you? How dare you?
I'm not really a big on Tito's personality, but I think that this last win really rejuvenated him. I think he's really focused now, and I don't think he's going to let this opportunity slip away. I think it's going to be a close fight. I don't think either fighter is going to do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. Neither fighter is going to do anything to lose this fight, but I think Tito Ortiz does enough. And we talk about ring rust, and you can either believe that it exists or it doesn't. When I talked to Phil Davis a few months ago, he doesn't believe in ring rust at all. You talk to Dana White. Dana White is a huge proponent of ring rust, and that time off really hampers your ability to be successful in the octagon. And I think that's going to be the case. Tito Ortiz, like he said, had a fight, took a week off. He's right back into training. Didn't give his body, let his body heal, but he really didn't take any punishment in that last fight. So he's ready to go, and I think he wins.
Co-main event of the evening, Vitor Belfort, the longtime UFCer. Recently came back to promotion at the last fight was the felled himself at the end of a big kick by Anderson Silva, front face kick by Steven Seagal, of course. he will take on Yoshihiro Akiyama, who has had no luck so far in the UFC. Fights and exciting fights, but just, UFC 100, he fought against Alan Belcher, eked out a decision win that a lot of people thought went to Belcher. Has had a couple defeats since then, fought against Chris Lieben in what was an awesome fight earlier this year. Do you have his record up right there?
Yeah, I'll bring that up right now.
So he's fought in really exciting fights. He needs a win, though. And against Vitor Belfort, he has a chance to get it. This is an interesting fight. It's really a coin flip fight for me. Two guys that just, they both need a win.
Yeah, his Akiyama lost his last two fights. You mentioned to Chris Lieben. That was a year ago, July.
Gotcha.
And lost to Michael Bisping last October.
Yes.
So, yeah, he needs a win. I think Vitor Belfort, he came back to the UFC after not being here for a long time.
Yeah,
he beat Rich Franklin, an aged Rich Franklin at that. But that was, going back almost 2 years ago now.
That was in Germany?
That was in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, so at UFC 103.
Yes, I remember that.
He beat Rich Franklin, TKO with punches, or due to punches in the first round. Came back, fought Anderson Silva in February. I guess that one win over Rich Franklin was enough to get him title shot. And like you said, just got front kicked by Anderson Silva, and that's the end of that tune. I think...
coin flip. I'm gonna pick Belfort to win.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
And I'm gonna pick him to win. I am tempted to say this. I'm gonna say by decision, just because Akiyama has got beat up before and he doesn't quit. He could get knocked out. You know what? I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna say Belfort by second round TKO. And I have nothing to base that on, to be completely honest. I'm gonna say second round TKO for Vitor Belfort.
Yeah, I mean, as far as losses, Akiyama only has, three of them. So, and he lost one by decision, and the one loss to Chris Lieben was getting choked, triangle choked out. So, I think this will probably go to decision. I think Vitor Belfort gets it. That'll be Akiyama's third loss in a row in four fights with the UFC, and he might be getting cut after that.
Yeah. Let's see. Also on the card, not a very star-driven card, as PJ alluded to earlier, all kinds of injuries. As a result, Dennis Hallman versus Brian Ebersol, which was going to be, I believe, on the prelims initially, is now bumped up to the main card. If you have not heard of these guys, if you're a casual fan, I don't blame you. They're not very well known. Brian Ebersol is probably best known for coming in on short notice against Chris Lytle in Australia and ended up winning that fight by unanimous decision, I believe, and is well known for having an arrow shaved into his chest hair. I can't make this up. Dennis Hallman, a Northwest guy, has been fighting for a long, long time. So this is not exactly a star-driven fight or even really a title eliminator by any means, just two guys getting it on.
Yeah, Hallman, his last three fights is only three in the UFC. Lost a friend of the show, John Howard, and then beat Ben Saunders, and then name from the past, Caro Parisian. In his last fight.
Caro the Heat Parisian.
Back at UFC 123. Yeah, so very, speaking about toss-ups here, I'll probably go with Ebersole here.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. I'll go with the same thing. This is really a coin flip fight. This is, again, Ebersole's second opportunity. Hallman has been fighting forever, and he could come out great. He could come out not good. I've seen him get beat. I've seen him win. I think Ebersole is going to win. And that's that. So otherwise in the car, we'll talk to, again, Jorge Rivera in just a few minutes. He's taking on Konstantinos Filippou, who I'll admit I don't know a lot about. He's fought once in the UFC and lost, so we'll talk more about to Jorge about that. Last week, we talked to Mike Pyle on this very show. You can go to the archives at WGAMradio.com, search for the MMA show, and you'll find that interview from last week, our first ever bleep, which was great. he takes on Rory McDonald. This should be, you know, again, two guys that are not very well known, but this should be a pretty good scrap. Mike Pyle always puts on a good effort. Rory McDonald, a fast-rising prospect, and this is going to be a coin flip fight, but in a very, you know, a very good way, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Rory McDonald, his last fight was at that UFC 129 up in Toronto, fought Nate Diaz, beat him by unanimous decision, lost his fight before that to Carlos Condit. I would say, well, I usually go with the guys who are on our show, so I'll probably have to go with Mike Pyle in that fight.
Okay. I will go with Rory McDonald, and because Rory McDonald looked good in that Condit fight, lost at the very last second by submission. Look at that point. I'm going to pick the younger prospect. No offense to Mike Pyle, but I think this is going to win fight of the night is my prediction. Rory McDonald versus Mike Pyle, fight of the night. Really quick before we go to the break, two other fights that are going to be on the prelim card. Matt Hamill returns after being battered around by Rampage Jackson, fighting fast rising prospect Alexander Gustafsson. And also Chad Mendes versus Ronnie Yahya. This is going to be, if Mendes wins, he gets the shot at the winner of Jose Aldo and Kenny Florian in a fight that's happening later this year for the featherweight championship. Gustafsson has been on a good roll. I don't know if this is too soon for Hamill to fight. He's taking this fight on short notice.
I think he just wants to get back out there after that loss. Just to try to get it out of the way.
He needs to win this fight, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to get cut, but he needs to win. I mean,
at least put forth a little bit more of an effort than he did against his fight against.
He's going to have a little bit better success ratio, no doubt. Chad Mendes, I'm going to pick him to beat Yahya by decision, and see if he can keep his undefeated mark in order and go from there. So those are the top seven. Also, some other fights on the card. Obviously, you can just search for UFC 133 in Google and figure all that out. So we're going to head to our first break of the evening. When we come back, we'll talk to a man that will fight on this very card, Jorge Rivera, Massachusetts' own. You are listening to the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. All right, WGAM MMA Show back on a Thursday night, and obviously UFC 133 coming up this Saturday. And, you know, we record the show here in Nashville, New Hampshire, a long Tom Brady throwaway. From the hometown of our next guest, he takes on Konstantinos Filippou this Saturday, UFC 133, the main card. The man from Massachusetts himself, Jorge Rivera, joins us on the MMA show. Thanks for joining us, Jorge.
What up, man? Thank you for having me.
Well, I tell you what, I was telling my co-host, PJ, here, a funny story to tell. Now, I've covered three UFC events. This will be my third UFC event covering live, and you have been involved in all of them, one form or another. I went down to went down to Charlotte when you fought Nate Quarry back last March and won. Obviously going to go down to this event in Philadelphia and see you compete. However, back at UFC 118 in Boston, I'm sitting on press row and covering the event. And all of a sudden, I get this tap on the shoulder. And I'm like, who's tapped me? And all of a sudden, I look around, it's Jorge Rivera. And your iPhone had run out of a battery. And you asked if I could use...
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, you asked if I could if I could charge your phone. I'm like, absolutely. So
I remember that.
It was all of a sudden. So all of a sudden, you know, I think it was Joe Lozon had his big finish. All stuff's going on. All of a sudden, I see Jorge's phone just blowing up on the table and all that stuff. I'm like, should I give it back to him? What should I do? So I was happy to help you out that night and help your communication later that evening.
Awesome. Much appreciated, man. Thank you.
So you have a big fight Saturday, and I know you've talked to death about the whole Alessio Sakara thing, him getting hurt in the three times you're supposed to fight. Now you have an opponent at the last minute. I mean, at this point, when the fight, you know, get put off or you had a replacement opponent, I mean, at this point, you've kind of heard everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it's part of the game. You know what I mean? I've been hurt before. I thank God I haven't been hurt so close to a fight. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. You know, you just got to just take up the pieces and go. I got a good fight in Costa Filippo. He's very similar to Alessio in the style and the manner that he fights. So my preparation didn't have to vary as much.
So what do you know about him? When the UFC came to you, were you familiar with him before? Did you immediately have to kind of go to YouTube and get some tape? Or how does that whole process work?
Yeah, I went over to UFC.com. I got the video of his last fight. And then I went to YouTube, saw all the videos that they had of him on YouTube. And it was quick, you know. I had literally an hour to make a decision as to whether or not I was going to take the fight. And I took it. You know what I mean? I think it's a good matchup. It makes for an exciting fight. And I'm looking forward to it.
So for those that have not heard of him before, he doesn't have a big experience in the UFC. I believe it was one fight that he lost at. From what you've seen, I mean, what should people or what are you looking for out of him?
He's a very good boxer. He's got 83 amateur boxing matches. He's got a bunch of pro matches. He's got a very good right hand and a good left hook. He moves well. He's a boxer, you know, so this is going to make for a good brawl.
So one of the things that, you know, you've really done it all in your career. You fought for a number of years. You've had stints in the UFC. You left and then came back. And this, you know, this last run, you've had a great stretch. You've knocked out guys. You've really kind of established yourself. You had a big-time fight with Michael Bisping that you're coming off of. I mean, this latest surge in your career, is there anything that you attribute it to that you've kind of, I know you've talked about, you know, some things going on in your past and so on. I mean, what's been helping you out this last stretch to have so much success?
I've got with a new camp right after my arsenic fight, and I got with the guys over at Ranger Up, and the combination of the two have really turned me around, re-energized me, and has really worked for me, and I'm extremely grateful for the contributions these people have made in my life.
Talk about that Ranger Up relationship a little bit, because a few weeks ago I talked to Tim Kennedy. I know he's a big Ranger Up guy, and I mean, it just seems as there's, you know, there's camps and there's, you know, sponsorships and things like that. It's almost like that Ranger Up thing. It's almost a like a family in a lot of sense, is it not?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
That's right. Yeah, I want to about the Ranger Up. It seems like, you know, it's more of a family than a sponsorship. It's really kind of unique, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I love those guys, and I can go on talking about those guys forever. You know what I mean? What they've done for me on a personal, on a professional level, it's unmatched. You know what I mean? They're not just looking to sponsor you and help you out financially. They are there. You know, I'm speaking for myself, man. What they've done for me is awesome. You know, it is a family environment. I know them all personally. They all know me personally. And I'm being dead honest. I love them. You know what they've done for me, and just everything. I mean, I could talk about them forever. They're just really good people. You know what I mean? And I love them, man. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if I wasn't for them.
It's the WGAM MMA show here on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio. PJ Hewitt and Josh Nason. We're talking to Jorge Rivera. He'll be fighting UFC 133 coming up this Saturday. Now, Jorge, we talked or mentioned real quickly, you're coming off a loss to Michael Bisping. There was a lot of talk between you guys. There was stuff said back and forth leading up to that fight. What, can you explain a little bit about what happened there? Like, what built it up to that point?
You know, when we first asked for the fight, it really wasn't on the radar. People weren't speaking about it. And it's a fight that I knew we could hype up and create a lot of interest in it. And that's what we did. You know, and as a fighter and entertainer, that is my job, to get people interested in the fight if they want to see the fight. I owe nothing to my opponent. You know, and we're in the business of beating the snot out of each other, for lack of better words. You know, and that's what we do, whether we're cool or we're not. You know, I just chose to do whatever I did against Michael Bisping. You know, it is what it is. I have no problem with it.
So, you've been in Fight Game a while, like we had talked about before. It was at some point in your career that you kind of understood the importance of hyping up a fight and drawing interest to it, as opposed to maybe early in your career where you're just looking to fight and that's about it?
Yeah, when I first started, I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. I was happy with just being in there and doing my thing. And then I watched other fighters who took a different approach, and their stock grew immensely. And all of a sudden, they were on the front page of everything. And before, they were just regular guys and regular names. So I took notice of this. You know what I mean? I like the approach. So I took a piece of it.
Very cool. Talking to Jorge Rivera, fights this Saturday night. And I got to tell you, we talked to a lot of people during fight week, and you sound very relaxed. You sound very calm, very good, and you sound like you sound relaxed, for lack of a better word. I mean, at this point, I mean, your career, I mean, what, when you go into these fights, you just, you know, any mentality at all? I know you talked a little about retirement or all this crazy stuff. I mean, you just kind of go into each fight and just kind of seeing what happens and going from there?
I've been doing this now since, I've been fighting now since like 99. You know what I mean? So this is what I do. You know, I have plenty of experience in it, and I understand it's my job. You know, I don't get too worked up emotionally or mentally. You know, I know that I have to prepare for it. I know my job. I understand my job. You know, so I'm pretty relaxed. I know what I have to do. I know Saturday I got to get in there and bang out and get the W. You know what I mean? And move on.
So I know you've mentioned that dreaded R word before, retirement. What goes into that? Just kind of how you feel after the fight, or are you thinking this might be it?
It's after the fight. I'm never going to make a decision as to what I'm going to do. You know, a big decision like retirement or quitting or whatever, maybe, you know, I'm not going to do that until the fight's over. You know, and like I said before, I'm just taking it one fight at a time. I'm not looking past this fight. You know, after this fight's over, I'll sit down, evaluate how I feel, where I'm at, everything else. And, you know, I'm not going to do it on my own. I'll do something I'll involve my family and my friends and my trainers and everybody else. And we'll come to a consensus and we'll move on.
You fought against a ton of well-known guys, Rich Franklin, Anderson Silva. You fought against Kendall Grove, Michael Bisping. You fought all these fights against so many memorable guys throughout your career. Is there anyone to this point that stands out to you as like your most favorite fight of your career?
Any fight that I win and I knock him out, that's my favorite. You know, so there's a list of them. You know, I mean, the W's are always sweet. You know, and a fantastic finish is always a good fight too. You know what I mean? But I also enjoy the fights where I've been pushed very, very hard. Like, I enjoy a fight where I've lost. The Rich Franklin fight was a good memorable fight for me. You know, the David LaRosa fight, the Travis Duda fight, these are all hard-fought fights that I enjoyed.
Now, you're obviously very focused on your fight this weekend, but how much time do you get to spend? We know you're a big Boston sports fan. How much time do you get to spend watching some of these Boston sports teams, especially, I guess, the Red Sox we'll talk about, since they're in the swing of things right now?
I was just at a game last Monday. You know, those are my teams, dude. I follow them hard. You know what I mean? I'm even further honest with you, I don't follow too much sports now because what I do is fight. That's all I really focus on. But, you know, my Boston teams, I love them. You know, and I ride them hard, do or die, to the death. You know, I follow them to the death. I love them.
So I know one of the cool things, you know, you always wear a Red Sox hat to, you know, press conferences and around and all that stuff. Now, you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which I'm sure you know is not exactly Boston friendly, I think, because of all the championships we've won up here. I mean, are you prepared to take a little grief from people for sporting your team's colors or what?
You know, I don't care. I'll go in the Bronx wearing my Sox hat. Yeah, it's my team. Yeah, I mean, I love them. You know, if they don't like them, I'm cool with that. You know, I love watching Kenny Florian wear his jersey out in Edmonton. I mean, out in Canada. So, I mean, whatever. You know what I mean? So, like I said before, man, that's another thing that I love. I love all the fighters who represent Massachusetts. You know what I mean? Joe Lozon, John Howard, Kenny Florian, Tom Lawler, all these guys. You know what I mean? And the guys that are coming up behind us. I mean, I'll be fans of these guys to the end.
Yeah, it's one of the things I wanted to ask you about is obviously being a Massachusetts guy and so on, how the MMA game is built here in New England since you started, you know, you mentioned back in 99. And kind of talk really quick about that. There's just how the scene is built around all those like local fights every single week in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, now Maine, all over the place, and kind of what your view of the scene is here.
You know, I've always thought that there was a lot of MMA going on in Massachusetts. You know, it's one of the smallest states in the nation, yet we have a large contingency representing in the bigger shows. You know what I mean? And ever since I can remember, but then again, I was involved in it, but I always saw a lot of guys from Massachusetts involved in MMA. You know, and it's great to see it grow and prosper and get bigger.
Very cool. So before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to, you know, thank any sponsors and also plug your Twitter, Facebook, and how fans can connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my fan page, you know, my personal page is still up, so I apologize. But you can catch me on Twitter, Jorge_Conquista, Conquista. I want to give a big thank you to Peter Welch, F15, Matt Finney, Tim Burrow, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, all my training partners throughout the years. Thank you guys very, very much. Brian Dew, Celtics champion conditioning coach. I want to give him a shout out as well. Scott Reed, Pro Reed. Good God. I can go on forever, man. But I definitely want to give a big shout out to Alchemist Management, Lex McMahon, and to Ranger Up. www.rangerup.com. Check them out. These are all active military or previous served military members that actually, they're part of their profits go to soldiers that are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and their families. So these guys are great people with a great cause. Please stand behind them.
And I'll make you this promise, my friend. Anytime this weekend, if you need your phone charged, just yell for Josh and I'll be right over my computer and I'll hook you up.
Holler at me, man. If you're around, definitely come look for me.
Will do. Jorge Rivera fights this Saturday night. UFC 133, pick it up on pay-per-view. Jorge, best of luck and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Jorge Rivera. He's a great guy. Not just because he was on the show, but you know he's
not just because he's a Boston Red Sox fan.
He is. Seriously though, if you see these pictures of him at press conferences and stuff, he always wears a Red Sox hat, and I kind of like that. I like that. You know, people are proud of this sports. I mean, watching the Red Sox here on the screen and all that stuff. So yeah, good stuff. Interesting fight he's got coming up against Konstantinos Filipou. Jorge hits hard. He's coming off that loss to Bisping, but, you know, made a great accounting of himself again. Who knows what happens after that knee strike, which, you know, it was a legal knee, this whole thing. It's too bad that happened.
Right.
Right.
And I learned a little something, though, and we've heard it, and you and I have talked about it off air before, about the hype to building fights. And sometimes you see these guys and you think, oh, there's really bad blood. These guys really hate each other. And as soon as the fight's over, it's like, oh, yeah, we might have said some things to try to help build the fight. You know, what happened with GSP and Koscheck did the same exact thing where GSP's like, oh, yeah, you know, talking to Montreal, don't hate him so much. Yeah, we said a lot of things to help build the fight. And it's almost like, oh, that's a little too close to something like WWE would do, uh-huh. Where it's, you know, these guys really hate each other, really hate you, but it's not maybe 100% accurate.
One of the things, actually, you mentioned that you asked him about Michael Bisping, tie into our show. Go to if you go to heavy.com /MMA, friend of the show, Spencer Kite, actually just did an interview with Jorge Rivera where he talks a lot about that. And it is very clear there is no love lost there between those two. And essentially, Bisping is an enemy for life. And you heard me mention
right.
Tim Kennedy in the interview, who is also with Ranger Up. He does not like Michael Bisping, and actually
there's a lot of guys that don't like Michael Bisping.
He actually told me he's blacklisted for life.
Blacklisted.
That's what Tim Kennedy
told me. Like he wouldn't fight him or
blacklisted, and
like,
then
wouldn't talk.
No
won't even mention him.
No, he would love to fight Michael Bisping. There's a lot of guys in that group that would like to fight. But yeah, you're right. Not very well liked.
He's one of those guys that gets under everybody's skin.
So actually, and. A related note, we are going to talk in our next segment about Strikeforce this past weekend and a guy who knocked out Michael Bisping and what his future might be. That would be Dan Henderson.
He knocked him out in a big way, too.
He knocked him out in a big way. We'll talk about that. He knocked out another big star in a big way this week, this past Saturday. We'll talk about Strikeforce next. This is the MMA show on the New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. All right, we are back on the WGAM MMA show. Almost said Friday night.
Thursday night,
as we are recording this on a Wednesday because I'm headed down to UFC in Philadelphia. And if you just joined the show right now, shame on you. You've missed a lot. We, in the first segment, we talked all about UFC 133, previewed the entire event. Second segment, we talked to Jorge Rivera, who actually fights on the card. Great interview with him. Big Boston sports fan. And we talked all about that, his rivalry with Michael Bisping, injury replacement, so on and so forth. So great interview with him. And we're going to talk a little bit about Strikeforce. However, since I'm going to be there, I'll be live blogging the event on Saturday night. But the PJ is going to be tweeting and so on. But tell the people how they can interact with us in general.
Well, to follow your blogs on Saturday night, they can go to WGAMMMA.blogspot.com. You can follow us on Twitter at WGAM_MMA. We're also on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, search for the WGAM MMA show. Also go to WGAMradio.com. We podcast everything we do. So if you missed any of today's show or you want to hear some of our older shows and some of our interviews, including guys like Boss Rutten, which is still one of my favorite interviews so far. You can go to WGAMradio.com, search under shows for the WGAM MMA show.
Phil Davis, Mike Pyle. Actually, Mike Pyle is fighting on this event as well. You can listen to the interview with him. Rick Story. Boss Rutten.
John Howard.
John Howard. All these guys we've talked to. More fighting.
Melvin Gillard. And his really bad cell phone on the golf course.
Joe Lozon is a very good cell phone. Actually, ironically, we haven't mentioned this, or we may have mentioned it briefly. Those two are actually fighting each other in October. Actually, we did talk about that recently.
Yep.
But had them on the same show at separate times, and now they're fighting. So, the UFC must be listening to us. Or something like
that. Well, if they're smart, they're listening to us.
They should be.
Someone in the UFC is listening to us.
Somebody is. So final segment, we're going to talk about Strikeforce. PJ, I know you saw the event, which is it warms my heart to no end. The main event.
Got a chance. Well, I finally got my another computer at my house. So,
good.
Mike, for months now, we were minus a computer at my house. So, if anything I wanted to do on the internet, I had to ask permission from my wife because I had to use her computer.
I see.
So, I finally got one of my own again. I am free to roam the internet and was able to check out Strikeforce this past weekend.
Welcome to 2011.
Yes.
Very good. So, the big news out of that event, really the event, there were two big stories. There were the major one. Dan Henderson knocking out Fedor Emelianenko in the first round. Really fun fight, really fun scrap between both guys. Both guys just really swinging for the fences. I don't know what it was. I think it might have been Fedor's gloves, those white gloves. His hands look so massive in those gloves. I mean, he's just swinging and swinging and swinging. And Dan Henderson swinging. He gets knocked down. Both guys get knocked down. Finish comes when Henderson's down. He'd got a glancing shot down. Fedor kind of goes after him. Henderson gets up, gets his back, and kind of releases, and then just throws this right hand, kind of like an uppercut, up underneath. It catches Fedor.
He was not expecting it.
Fedor goes flat. He turns over. He gets hit in the back of the head a couple times. Kind of flips over. Herb Dean calls a fight. A lot of people are saying it was a bad stoppage. I don't think it was a bad stoppage because Fedor went out. He hit the ground on his face, and the best analogy I've heard is that conscious people don't do that.
No.
They just don't fall that way.
For the splittest of seconds, he went out.
Before he recovered
enough to turn himself over. But you see, he puts his hand up to kind of just stop the blows, and that's when Herb Dean stopped the fight.
Yeah.
Once he put one hand up to kind of just stop Henderson, that's when Herb Dean stopped the fight.
The minute Fedor hit, flare-flopped and hit the ground, he was out. And so, I mean, the thing is, there's so many people that like to protect Fedor. Fedor is a great fighter, but, you know, trying to make excuses and all this stuff. I mean, he lost. He got knocked out cold, and he's lost three in a row. So go to Henderson first. So Henderson is in a very unique position. I wrote a column on this, actually, bloodyelbow.com, if you want to search for Josh Nason, about Dan Henderson. Now he's a free agent. He's a light heavyweight champion. This was a catchweight fight. There's no champion's clause in a contract. With a champion's clause basically means even if your contract runs out, if the champion, you can keep fighting. You have to, you're still with the promotion. You can't just leave with a belt, right? There's no such champion's clause with him. So he's fought his four fights under his contract. He's done. So he can go wherever he wants now. Wherever he wants, there's really not a lot of options. So he has the UFC he could go to, which he left several years ago because of all
contract disputes
and issues and all this stuff. So he left. And so now Zuffa now owns UFC and Strikeforce. So he can stay in Strikeforce if he wants. He has to sign a new deal there. He can go back to UFC, which to me is a much more lucrative option because to me, I think the light heavyweight division needs some help. I think it's full of aging veterans and it's full of prospects and there's not a lot of middle ground. I think
he would fall into the aging veteran category,
but he's also won four of his last five.
Grant's including a, this one, was which is a huge one.
It was a big one, and some people can kind of pick apart his opponents, but he's won them four of his last five by technical knockout or knockout. He's still marketable. He's not going to be a huge pay-per-view draw. However, earlier we were talking about contenders to the title, right? The top contender to the title after Saturday night could be someone that had won once previous this fight in the past 6 years. I mean, again, two fights in a row, and now this guy's getting a title shot. Dan Henderson has won three in a row now, I believe. Again, four his last five, something like that. Is a Strikeforce light heavyweight champion, whatever that means. So he could easily come over, and you have some legitimacy. I would rather see, put it this way, no offense to Ortiz, I would rather see Henderson come over and get the next title shot at Jones and Rampage as opposed to Ortiz.
Yeah, and Henderson was very noncommittal after the fight when they asked him about it. He said he'd like to defend keep defending the Strikeforce title, but money's going to talk, in this case. And if the UFC says, well, we'd rather you just come over here and we'll give you a title shot right away. Mm-hmm. I think he jumps at it.
Yeah, his asking price, I think, was like $800,000 for a fight a lot of people balk at, and I agree. But again, if he's fighting for a much higher level of competition, he's fighting for titles and in the mix. But then again, he may just want to defend it, kind of finish out what he started in Strikeforce. But at 205, they're also very light as well. And to me, the honest thing is just bring the 205s over to the UFC already. Just that division, just absorb it in UFC and just start the process, you know?
Because he'd be the second champion to just leave.
Yeah.
Nick Diaz.
I think the UFC's 205 division actually benefit from the entire strike force.
Right.
I say entire. It's not like a ton of guys.
But I mean, it's more than what they have, and yeah, it would boost it a little bit.
Yeah, I just, to me, there's more benefit of him going back to the UFC than there is staying in strike force. That's my opinion. But on the flip side, Fedor, now lost three in a row. His contract is done. It was basically a contract. Talk about WWE. It's, you know, contract versus contract, right? So Fedor is done. His contract is expired, and they don't know if he's going to return. He also comes with a very expensive price tag, I believe. Somewhere in that almost near $1 million per fight, I believe, has been mentioned before. That may be incorrect, but it's very high, very expensive. And he's lost three in a row. Would people pay to see him again? I'm sure, but not at that price tag. UFC really has no interest in him, you know, unless it was some sort of
especially with the M1 stuff and everything.
Because you have to deal with the M. That was the reason he didn't go there.
Yeah.
They had a deal worked on the table, right, for him to go to the UFC, but M1 wanted co-promotion, and UFC does not co-promote. And you saw, anyone that saw the event, you know, there was Strikeforce, M1 Global, all over everything. The events he's in, they have to co-promote. So what does Fedor do from here? You know, are you even interested in seeing Fedor fight again?
I'd like to see him fight some of these other guys in the UFC, yeah.
Okay.
I would.
Like who? Even after losing three in a row?
Even after losing three in a row, I think if they brought him in for, give him a three-fight contract. And as far as who I'd like to see him fight, let me think about it and get back to you, because I'd probably like to write down a list and be like, all right, scratch this guy off. No, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this. But
there's only one UFC fight that I'd like to see him.
Brock?
KOTOR. I'd like to see Randy KOTOR.
Yeah, but he's done. I consider him done.
Those guys were supposed to fight several years ago, and Randy KOTOR was done with the UFC at that time and all this. Right?
I'd probably like to see him fight Shane Carwin.
Shane Carwin, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
I can see him fight Shane Carwin.
He really should be fighting at 205, because the case been made that he was great in his era of heavyweights, but heavyweights are so much bigger, faster, Brock-like.
Right.
Cain Velasquez would destroy Fedor. He would just he would just rip him apart. So almost like if he dropped down 205, he'd be much more competitive. There you go, 205. That could be kind of fun. I just think there's too much back.
I don't see that happening.
The M1 stuff, I don't think it's going to happen. So, interesting there. The other really other newsworthy notes from that show, Miesha Tate defeating Marlos Kunin by fourth round submission to win the Strikeforce bantamweight, women's bantamweight title. Marlos Kunin, coincidentally, was cut by the UFC because of this. Now, some of you are probably going to hear a lot more about is Zuffa versus Golden Glory. Golden Glory being a fighting camp that fights out of, I want to say the Netherlands. I don't have it right in front of me, but so Alistair Overeem is with Golden Glory, and there was a whole controversy a couple weeks ago about that. So it seems that there are three fighters today, as we record this, that got cut by Golden Glory: Marlos Kunin, John Olav Einemo, who recently fought against Dave Pee Wee Herman at a UFC event. Really big dude. He got cut. And also Valentin Overeem, which is Alistair's brother. All three people, ironically, getting cut today.
Hmm.
Interesting. Don't mess with Zuffa, people.
No, and just quickly to finish out the main card of that Strike Force, Tim Kennedy beats Robbie Lawler by unanimous decision. Tim Kennedy's very, very quick. Very quick. And Robbie Lawler looked phenomenal while he was fighting. He looked very good, very in shape. He didn't seem to gas out at all. But
except he didn't do anything in the third.
No.
He just sat there.
And he beat up Tim Kennedy, too, and because Tim Kennedy looked worse, but he outfought him and did a really good job and earned that victory. Tyrone Woodley beats Paul Daly. Speaking of not doing anything, Paul Daly did absolutely nothing in that fight,
with the exception of that one round. That nice submission attempt in the third.
That was about it, but it is too little too late. The most interesting part about that was the celebration for Tyrone Woodley's mom that they showed in the audience.
That
was great. And a welterweight fight earlier on, Scott Smith versus Tarek Saffredine. Really not an interesting fight. Saffredine easily handles Scott Smith.
What are your overall thoughts on the card from an entertainment standpoint?
I'd probably give it a B minus.
It's kind of a loaded question. The reason I was bored at parts.
Yeah, those first two fights weren't very good.
Yeah, it was just I don't know. Scott Smith, I think, is probably his best days are behind him, and I liked Tarek Saffredine. I like how he looked in that fight, but I just don't think he. He didn't do much for me. The big fight of the night, obviously, was Fedor and Dan Henderson. Great fight. Go find that if you will, and you will be thoroughly entertained. And the music indicates that we're done for a week. Great show today. We talked all about UFC 133. Again, I'll be heading down there. Follow us on the blog. Follow us on Twitter. And all the news about Rashad Evans and Tito Ortiz. And we'll see if Tito's got one more rabbit in the bag of tricks. If I can even pronounce that right. Any quick closing thoughts, PJ?
I think we're good. We'll follow us online, like we said, and enjoy the fights this weekend.
Definitely. Thanks to Jorge Rivera for joining us this week. Thanks for Mike Pyle for joining us 2 weeks ago. You can kind of get your UFC 130 preview listening to those two fights. And, yeah, another good week and another big week ahead. We'll be with you next week talking all about it. And, again, for PJ Hewitt, I'm Josh Nason. This has been the WGM MMA Show. And until next week, keep your chin down and your hands up.